Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Finally, the federal government is focusing on something important. Finally! After all this time, the federal government is focused on something we can all agree with. The Republicans, the Democrats, the independents, the moderates, the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, the gay and straight, and name your little bit of fiefdom here, there, and everywhere. Something we can all agree on, except, of course, for the lactose intolerant. Tony Katz today. What is going on? Find everything I do over at TonyKatz.com. U.S. government agencies demand fixable ice cream machines. This is a real story. The Federal Trade Commission and the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice are looking, this story is over at Ars Technica, have asked the Copyright Office to exempt, quote, commercial soft serve machines from the anti-circumvention rules of something called Section 1201 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. They argue, this is how it states, in each case, an exemption would give users more choices for third-party and self-repair and would likely lead to cost savings and a better return on investment in commercial and industrial equipment. Clearly, this is a conversation about the McDonald's ice cream machine always being broken. Which is strange because I went yesterday, St. Patrick's Day. My family has been getting Shamrock Shakes for 11 years. The kids were small. And it was the first time we ever did anything like this for them. Because, avoiding sugar and all these things. And it was around St. Patrick's Day. It was a Shamrock Shake. All right, we're going to go. And I mean, they were still in car seats. And we got the Shamrock Shake and poured it into little cups for them. And they each got their own cup. They didn't have to share a straw. They each got their own cup. And in the car seats, little toddlers, they didn't know what was happening. You have all, if you have children or if you've seen any movie with children, you all have this moment where the first time the kid gets the experience of, we'll name the thing, and it's theirs. And they like know it's special and know it's rare, and they're like, what is happening here? What is going on? I don't know if I have ever seen them more joyous. I mean, I'm sure it's happened. I mean, but that's how much the memory sticks with me of the Shamrock Shake. They were too young to have like their own shake. I think it happened like a year or two later. They got their own small shake. They were like, but it worked. My point is, we were able to get it. And though it's not really a milkshake, it's already just pours out whatever it is. But the shake machine never works, and it's a joke across America, and everyone gets it. But I think this is kind of fascinating. We need government intervention on this. How in the world is the milkshake machine somehow covered by the Digital Millennium Copyright Act? It builds upon a petition that was filed by a repair vendor. They advocate for broad reforms while keeping a relatable, ingestible example at its center. McDonald's soft serve ice cream machines, which are famously frequently broken, supplied by Taylor Ice Cream, Taylor Machines. They make a bunch of stuff. It requires a lengthy, finicky warm-up and cleaning cycle. It produces crazy error codes and costs $350 per 15 minutes of service for a Taylor technician to fix. Stop it! $350 per 15 minutes? By the way, do the math. Carry the two. Let me take off my shoes. That's $1,400 an hour. I mean, that's hooker money. That's $1,400 an hour. Damn, Daniel, that is the woo. That's crazy. There's one group that trying to help with the diagnoses of issues that could be coming up. So there's this group that said, "Hey, we've got this device, and you can put it on the machine, and it'll tell you when there's an issue." And Taylor's like, "Nope, No, we won't allow that. So now this company, it's called Kitsch, is suing Taylor for $900 million. There's a real deeper question here, and I can remember this coming up regarding cars. You buy a car, and the car, today's new cars, has 9,000 pieces of computer whatever in it. Thingamabobs and whatsamahoozits and whatever you want to call them. Well, they would consider at Ford and General Motors, Subaru, and name it, they would consider their technology to be proprietary. One would assume that they consider their computer systems, their setup, their ecosystem would be a proprietary system. So now here comes the question. If that is the case, who owns the car? If they own the operating system that is required in today's world for the car to operate, did you buy the car? Or did you just make a very large rental of the car, a lease of the car, and they can actually take it back from you anytime if you didn't go to one of their approved service technicians at $350 per 15 minutes. By the way, I know Mafioso is looking at that going, bravo, bravo. Tommy, you know about this? $350 for 15 minutes. Look at me like a schmuck. I'm in concrete. Look at me. What was I thinking? Yeah, ice cream machines, Paulie. Ice cream machines are the way to go. Who owns the car at that moment is this like super fascinating question. How does this work and how does this operate? $350 for 15 minutes. Holy hell. So now you understand what's being looked at here. If I purchase something, why can I not do with it what I choose? But let me take it in a different direction. Let's say we believe this to be the case. Let's say we believe that you purchase something and you can do with it what you choose. Why isn't that true of the rock concert ticket I buy? Or any musical act. I buy a ticket. Why can't I go about reselling that ticket for more money? Why not? Why is it that I'm being told that I purchased something, but I didn't actually purchase it? It is not actually a what is it? You want to call it a fungible asset? Or did I purchase a contract? I purchased a contract with the band to be the person who goes at this price, and I don't have the ability to assign that to somebody else at a higher price? There's an argument to be made for that. This is what we charge. This is what we do. And if you don't want to go to the show, don't go to the show. And I guess someone could say, if you don't want to buy the car, don't buy the car. Which would signal to me that we should be making cars that have none of these insane parts in them. I don't need every bit of technology. And, you know, they used to work in the past, which is now going to be impossible because the push is on for more and more electric vehicles. The Biden administration is putting on the push. Here is the story, Fox News with the reporting. Biden administration to finalize major gas car crackdown over warnings from automakers. Of course they're making warnings. Nobody wants the electric vehicles. I drive one. I have a sponsorship locally with a Ford dealership. Part of the deal, I drive one of their cars. And I've driven the Mach-E, which is the electric Mustang. I don't know why they called it the Mustang. I think it was a huge mistake. The car itself is excellent. And I now drive the Lightning, which is the F-150. It's the all-electric pickup. I will tell you, point blank, that car is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I feel the way about this, the way I felt when I first drove the H3. I was living in California at the time and took over somebody's lease, which is in and of itself an insane story because I was dumb enough to fly from Los Angeles to Vegas, meet a guy in the parking garage of the Vegas airport and take over his lease. And I drove it back to California. How I didn't get killed is beyond me. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was white and it was an H3. It was spectacular. I loved that car so much that when I got to Indiana and I had gotten myself a little stable, literally took my wife. We rented a car. We drove from Indianapolis, the Indianapolis area, to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to a used car dealership that had a blue H3. I'm like, that's the one I wanted. Bought it there and drove back, dropped off the rental car and drove back in a rainstorm. I don't know what I was thinking. I could have just had it shipped. What? I don't know. I had to see it. I'm not the only person with ridiculous stories like that, but I did that. I find that the H3, I love the Hummer H3. So mine's a 2009. It's spectacular. It's not the V8. It's the five cylinder. So it actually is rather okay on gas. It's terrific. Love that car. And it I feel like I truly connected with it. Like, that's me. I get out of an H3 and people are like, yeah, of course Tony got out of an H3. Of course he did. Not the H2, like a traditional military Hummer or the H3. I get out of that and you're like, yeah, of course. That makes absolute sense. I feel that way about the Lightning. Like, it's just, it is spectacular. You know who it's for? Not everybody. You can't force this on people. You can't force the electric vehicles on people. And the automakers have been saying, we may have jumped in a little too much. Because they all jumped in. Oh, they jumped in like it was their job. We're going to have an all-electric fleet. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. Because they wanted to be loved by the administration. By all these green psychopaths. And then you know what they learned? We ain't buying. The American people in the main are not buying electric vehicles. They're like, oh, that's pretty, but oh, that's too much money. And I'm not so sure about this whole charging thing. And now I've got to put in an extra thing in my home to charge faster. And what if I have to take a road trip? And what if I forget to charge it? Where am I going to find a charging station? And how long do I have to wait? I can just fill up with gas. It takes me 6 minutes. There's a gas station on every corner. I'm on my way. Electric vehicles, America has said, nah. In the main, you know what they've said yes to? Hybrid vehicles. And Toyota looks like a genius here. Because Toyota absolutely focused on hybrid. And people are like, you know what? That makes sense. Because it doesn't matter whether we agree or disagree about the green insanity and the Green New Deal nonsense and all that, which, by the way, it's all dangerous nonsense. We accept the idea that if I had a car that had a electric motor and a gas motor, and I could save a little bit of money on gas and just plug it in regularly to my home, and I can get like an extra 15, 20 miles, you know, for the around town kind of stuff that I normally do. I don't drive far to work. And then a gas kicks in case I need to go far. Yeah, that's cool. That makes perfect sense. I get that. Do that. People get that. They're totally down with it. Like, yeah, make that happen, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. All electric, they're not down for. Doesn't stop the Biden administration, which is going to engage some rulemaking via the EPA. It's going to incentivize greater adoption of electric vehicles. No, it's not. It's going to force people to buy electric vehicles because it's going to force the automobile companies not to listen to the market. It's going to force people not to have cars. We already know in California, they're going to put an end to new gas-powered cars by what, 2030? You're not going to be allowed to sell them at a dealership. Well, wait till they start getting rid of gas stations. Wait until they say, if you bring in a used vehicle, a combustion engine vehicle into California, the tax is 9 bajillion%. So therefore, it's totally unaffordable. And the next thing you know, you have an entire class of people that can't afford a car. Can't afford a car. Well, luckily we've got all these buses for you. You want to talk about control? Holy hell. You got yourself some control right there, kitten. This is gross. And as is being discussed, was a good quote by a guy by the name of Jason Isaac, who I don't know personally, the American Energy Institute. He's the CEO there. This is being purely being done for campaign reasons to really appease the leftist large donor base that are the climate alarmists that are driving this moment toward really what is a forced energy transition, which is just increasing the cost of everything. I think that can be seen by many of us as a strong possibility. The car dealers, the car manufacturers have stated loudly and clearly, yeah, America is just not interested in this on the regular. They just don't want the electric vehicles. They can't afford them. They don't have a comfort level with them. They don't mind that it exists. They just don't want it for themselves. It's a small market. Dear Lord, you got, was the guy from Hertz with the Teslas? They bought all these Teslas and they were going to rent all the Teslas. And then people realized, yeah, no one wants to rent a Tesla. They don't want to rent an electric vehicle because they don't feel comfortable. So now they're selling like 20,000 Teslas and the CEO of Hertz is stepping down because of it. They tried electric vehicles and it failed. A Tesla did well because all these Teslas were purchased, but they failed. How many more ways do you have to see it? It's not that America is anti-electric. It's that simply they're not buying in. It isn't for everybody. If somebody else wants it, that's fine. But here's the government that's going to force it on you. They're going to force it on you. Nobody wants anything forced on them. They want to be able to make their own decisions and make their own choices. And I think that if you own a Taylor ice cream machine and you want somebody else to fix it who isn't charging you $350 per 15 minutes, you should be able to. I'm very curious to see what happens with these government agencies and these ice cream machines. Because if we have to drive electric vehicles, maybe some plentiful ice cream will make us feel better. Maybe not, but one can hope. I'm Tony Katz. Burglary tourism. This isn't the first time this story has come up, but now that it's reached Los Angeles, oh, it's all the rage. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. What's going on? Not the rage that's happening, the rage to talk about it. There are people coming in from South America and other places. They are sophisticated in that they're coordinated. They rob a host of areas, and then they get out of the country. Now, in my beloved Indianapolis, there's a town to the north and the east called Fishers, where this story in different ways has come up. This is the Los Angeles Times talking about, for example, Scottsdale. Where police were hunting members of an international heist ring suspected of stealing jewels and luxury goods from homes across Los Angeles. They found a guy hiding under a tree. He was 17 and from Chile, but he had two other accomplices. They have now admitted to breaking into multiple homes as part of a growing trend of burglary tourism from South America. Why not? Steal what you can, get across the border. It's pretty porous anyway. And, bring it all back and sell it for whatever you sell it for. And look at you. That's what people think of America. I think that's the story. Can you imagine the disdain that you have, the lack of respect you have for a nation that you think you can just walk in, steal stuff, walk out? What are they going to do? Hurt me? Put me in one of their cushy jails. Maybe they think it's cushy. Who knows? They aren't worried. You think they're doing this in China? Yeah, we'll walk into China. We'll steal everything. We'll walk out. No. No, they're not. It's a total lack of respect. This is the story. Look what we're doing to ourselves. Look how others actually view us. That they're like, you know what? I'm going to take their crap. What are they going to do? Write a hashtag about me? A sternly worded letter? Make me use the right pronoun from the people I'm stealing from? It's a total lack of respect. That's what's going on around the country. I'm sorry, around the globe. I think we should do something to fix that. I think that might be a that might be helpful in us being able to keep our stuff in our own houses. This is Tony Katz today. So as we have seen, the whole bloodbath conversation was a media-manufactured nonsense. Sure, Donald Trump said the words, but media took the words out of all context, purposefully to try and damage and push the idea that if you vote for Trump, if you vote for Republicans, they're going to destroy democracy. What could be more of an example of being unworthy of democracy, of hating democracy, of decrying democracy, than to take somebody's words out of context to try and defeat them in a presidential election? Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Now, if you didn't hear the story, let me give it to you. President Trump is speaking in Dayton, Ohio. And President Trump is speaking about the auto industry, and he says this.
They want to do this all electric nonsense where the cars don't go far, they cost too much, and they're all made in China. And the head of the United Auto Workers never probably shook hands with a Republican before. They're destroying. You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
That's what he said. He's talking about cars. It's going to be a bloodbath. Now, bloodbath is a term that is used often. It has been used in a myriad of places. And as we've shown with this world-class montage, do I need to play the music? Okay, I'll play the music.
We're gonna need a montage.
So here is a great example of everybody just outraged at the use of the term bloodbath.
Next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump. Bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath.
May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
So, people use this terminology all the time. Trump was speaking specifically of the auto industry. That's the conversation he was having. Every news outlet said, Trump said if he's not elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Trump promises a bloodbath if he doesn't win. It's not what he said. That is not what he said. But they can't stop themselves. They cannot help themselves but to lie. They absolutely, positively have to lie. This was... I'll only share two with you because the last thing we need to hear are a bunch of nonsense Jen Psaki MSNBC clips. But I want to share with you just the lying part. So humor me here. This is Jen Psaki asking the serious question to this guy is a, what is he? He's the communications director for Harris Biden 2024. Right, he's going to have the answer.
When you heard the full context, when you saw those comments at that rally, what did you hear?
Well, thank you, Jen, for having me. I mean, what I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump for years, as you pointed out. It goes even farther back, right? This is the same guy who, after Nazis marched on Charlottesville and killed a woman, said there were very fine people on both sides.
He's lying twice, lying about what Trump said in Dayton, Ohio, lying about the Charlottesville statement. They don't care. And they don't care, and they don't care. And so now you ask yourself, when they start pushing this stuff, and you see media pushing this stuff, did the White House give the media the talking points, or did the media give the White House the talking points? But maybe I'm repeating myself, because it's one and the same. It's clear and it's obvious that everybody and their mother has used the term bloodbath. It gets used all the time. It gets used about Wall Street. It gets used about elections. It's one of those expressions. And it is not a call to violence. Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, and this is the last one, I promise, wants you to know, if you don't understand what Trump was saying, you're just dumb.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, yeah, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bull. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bull. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
If you ever wondered how much Joe Scarborough hates you, you're the idiot. They have been violent now for years. You talk about Maxine Waters. You make a crowd and you surround them and you push back on them. How about this ever popular piece from Chuck Schumer regarding Justice Kavanaugh?
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Violent, right? But that one's specific. You will pay the price. Bloodbath is an expression. You have to want it. You have to want Trump's statement to be a call to political violence, as opposed to constant calls to political violence that we're somehow supposed to ignore. And if you don't agree with them, you're the idiot. How does one move forward in this conversation and see it for what it is and explain it for what it is? Allow me a couple of ideas. First, it is obvious and clear that if you are somebody watching NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, or CNN day in and day out, you'll never get a full and complete story. Now, one could argue that if you're watching Fox News all day, you'll never get a full and complete story. Go on and make that argument. But they aren't the ones in this case saying Donald Trump says there'll be a bloodbath if he's not elected. They didn't say it. ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and CNN have said it. They don't care about context. That was the context. But we know what he really meant. He said what he said. We're now going to read into everything the man says. Now, not everything Trump says I agree with. Not at all. And you guys know, I believe this. Man, DeSantis, we could have had DeSantis. We could have had DeSantis, for the love of God. But I'm not going to sit back and listen to this nonsense and these nonsense merchants engage. So we have to start with a couple of pieces of understanding. If you haven't already, you must understand that these outlets cannot be trusted. They aren't interested in your trust. They're interested in your blind allegiance. Here's what we tell you. That's all there is. Thank you, Cleveland. Good night. There is nothing else. All you can do is accept what we say. And don't ever question it, ever. Here's Trump saying it'll be a bloodbath if he's not elected. See that? He's trying to threaten the country. Don't worry about context. Don't worry about the situation. Don't worry about what he said before or after to make it an understandable piece. Just accept it. And then, of course, never recognize the amount of people on the political left who said it. Well, you see, if Schumer talks about releasing the whirlwind, that's just fine because we know his heart's in the right place. But when Trump says, would you like a cookie? He's trying to kill your grandmother. Everybody knows what he means by cookie. And you must now accept. You know, it's Atlas Shrugged and it's Darkonia in the room after John Galt has left and he's there in his own tears. There's nothing left to see but reality. There's nothing left to view, guys. You can try to spin it. Oh, well, they meant this. Oh, well, the media said that. Well, at least the New York Times this. No, it's over. And this is what is imperative for you, for me, for your kids, for your friends, for your aunt and uncle, for your mima. No, there is no other way to view the situation. This is what today's media is doing. Trying to rig an election through their commentaries when they claim to be about news. And by the way, anybody notice the amount of cursing Scarborough is doing? You heard me. I was on Fox over the weekend listening to some nonsense so-called Democratic strategist. I'm not cursing. What's he doing? By the way, it kills me he makes more money than me. And I really... you guys know I do a morning show, right? For those of you not in Indianapolis, I do a morning show in Indy, and there's been conversation, should I live stream it and do? I am convinced I should turn it into an entire TV morning show because Morning Joe used to be the intellectual morning show, and now it's insane, and now it is this quasi death cult of Trump hate. I think there's a moment. I think there's a moment to transcend what we're even doing on radio and really create something massive there. I feel that way about the midday show too. I'm waiting for the new studio. The new studio insulation is going in today, and then the sheetrock. Oh, I cannot wait to get this thing done. I can't wait to show you. It's gonna be fantastic. But it is true. This used to be the intellectual morning show, and now what is it? It is this. It's this ridiculous mess. But they are a great example. They're not trying to engage in news, right? So I'll give you an example. I'm not a news guy. That's not what I do. I do commentary. I am fully honest and transparent about commentary. Sometimes I'll break news. Sometimes I'll share breaking news. But I do commentary. Even if you were to say to me, well, Morning Joe does commentary, these are so-called cable news channels. Where's the news? Where is the news? Where's it being presented and broken down and discussed? Now, maybe you say to me, well, that's what happens at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. And everything else is just, you know, you got to fill the time and get people watching. And if it bleeds, it leads. And it's got to be sensationalist. Maybe that's it, which is more of a reason to shut it out. And we should be clear. People are shutting it out. It's happening all over the place. I pay attention to radio trends because it's my job. Absolutely. People look at this, right? They are like you and I. They're like, yep, these people clearly are not interested in news. They will clearly manipulate and lie. They can't be trusted. And so some people search out trusted news sources, like what we do here, or trusted commentary sources. They're going to explain to you the whole story and then give you a position. Then there are other people, and you know them, and you are in some ways part of them. They've turned it off. They're done. They're out. No, who can... Who can have this anymore? It's too nasty. All the time nasty. All the time lying. All the time manipulating. All the time hating you. You. Hating you. Who needs calling you idiots? Dear gosh. That's, you heard Scarborough. And people are like, nope, I'm done. I'm done listening. Guys, I get it. I get it. One of the things I've been working on over the, I'm always working on it, and I move slowly. I admit I'm a plodding guy in that way. Less politics, more theory, more philosophy, more engagement in that way. I'm wondering if I should take more calls because I take none right now, right? As a way of kind of lightening the load and the mood because this is all nutty. Like, who the hell wants to live like this? These people are crazy. They're fakakta crazy. We don't have to be crazy. But you cannot deny that these so-called cable news outlets, MSNBC, CNN, the rest, just lying. This thing about Trump and the bloodbath, he didn't say, if I don't get elected, there'll be a bloodbath. He was talking about the auto industry. That's the context. And to say otherwise is a lie. And they're proud of their lies. And if you don't agree with their lies, they call you an idiot. I get why you're turned off. And I'm going to work very hard to not turn you off. I just want to turn you on, Boo Bear. That's right, I said it. This is Tony Katz Today.
My life be like...
Ireland now is one of the top 10 investors in the United States economy, and our country stand proudly for liberty and against tyranny. We stand together and oppose Russia's brutal war of aggression in Ukraine. You can clap for that, please.
Nothing like Joe Biden having to go for a Jeb Bush please clap moment. Nothing like it when he's in Ireland. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today, what's going on? Yeah, he was in Ireland, wasn't he? That's why I thought he was actually there. Look, if you have to say please clap for supporting Ukraine, I think that's kind of weird. I do also think that it's kind of weird that Ukraine has become such a hot button where Republicans are like, nah, we don't care what happens. Russian aggression, we're cool. That's populism. And I will be speaking more about how populism is a problem. We must address the elephant in the room, and we shall in the days and weeks ahead. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.